What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, their families, communities, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Kim Wiley. Kim is a doctoral candidate at FSU in public administration. She's also a mother, and we are glad to have her and very involved in the Oasis Center.
Hi, and thanks for having me.
Ava Wiley, Kim's daughter. She attends the School of Arts and Science. She's in the fifth grade, and her things are soccer, and she enjoys reading.
Hey.
Sophie Wiley. Sophie also attends the School of Arts and Science in the fourth grade. She likes dancing, soccer, art, and animals.
Hello.
Jordan Richardson. Jordan is at Gilcrest Elementary, fifth grade. Acting, swimming, volleyball, and softball are her things.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you. Emily Precone. Okay, Emily is in the 11th grade. Attends Lincoln High School. She's youth leadership, volunteering, empowering young women.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
And Haley Cutler. Haley is the executive director of the Oasis Center for Women and Girls.
Thank you. Thanks for having all of us here today.
Well, welcome to all of you. Glad to have you. I'll start by if you and maybe Kim can give us some information on just the evolution. How did the Oasis Center for Women and Girls evolve?
So the Oasis Center for Women and Girls is our community's nonprofit community center for women and girls. And we were founded in 2007. We opened our doors in 2008, really with a vision for celebrating and supporting women and girls. On the support side, filling some of those critical gaps in services for women who really could get to their goals and what came next for them with just a little bit of help. But also on the celebration side, really focusing on elevating the visibility of women's leadership and helping women and girls thrive in every aspect of their lives, whatever that looked like for them. And how we, it's really, like you said, grassroots. We founded by having 100 people, we call them our founding members, Kim Wiley being one of them, who pledged their financial support and their willingness to put energy and enthusiasm into building this organization. And that was how we got our start. And then later came grant funding, and programs and services were really built and designed by those initial women and some very supportive men who had a vision for what a community that had a central hub for women and girls could be and could look like. And so that's that. And I'll let Kim talk about her founding experience.
Yeah, Kim, would you share with us just your kind of impetus for getting this going and what it involved?
I think my introduction to the Oasis Center might have been the Women's Luncheon they host each March for mm-hmm. Women's History Month. And they Kelly Oddie was the director at the time, and she led an exercise on trailblazers here in Tallahassee. And these were women who had made a large impact in our community. And it was fascinating to me because it was all these women that I hadn't heard of before, but they had done these really remarkable things. And it was really kind of a selling point for me to get involved and to get all of my girls involved as well.
Okay. Now, it is all about the community and women and girls in the community. How does the community access the center? I mean, what are the kinds of things that make the community become involved, that make, I guess, call their interests?
Yeah, so we envision a community in which all women and girls thrive at every stage of life. And what that means is that we have to have a variety of programs and services that are interesting and helpful and meaningful to all different kinds of women and girls, sort mm-hmm. of based on what might be going on for them. And so it's a variety. Each different program might have a different way of accessing it. So, you know, we have programs like counseling and support mm-hmm. groups. We have a single mom support group, for example, and all someone needs to do to get involved with those counseling or support groups is to give us a call at the office.
Okay. Give us the info.
850-222-2747. Or, of course, if you can't remember that number, you can always just Google the Oasis Center for Women and Girls and pull up our website, which is www.theoasiscenter.net, and you'll get our contact information. And okay. Our single mom support group is free. You just give us a call. We do it every Thursday, and we provide free on-site babysitting and dinner during the group for moms and their kids, and that program is just about recognizing that being a single mom, no matter what our circumstance is really hard. So you just give us a call and you show up. Counseling, we provide that. Go ahead.
Okay, we're going to get to all of that. Okay. Just give me a second. Is there any particular criteria for the participants to...
So it just depends on
the program. It depends on the program again?
Exactly. Okay. So for the single moms group, any mom. And for counseling, any woman, regardless of income. And for the programs that we do in the community, everyone is welcome.
What about age? And when I say age, I know that you deal with women and girls. Mm-hmm. So at what point can a girl become involved? At what point chronologically?
So our summer camp program is the program that serves our youngest girls, and we serve girls as young as 5 in that program and up to 15.
Okay. All right. Now, I guess some of the programs involve costs and others don't. Is that correct?
Correct. But we will never allow – our purpose is about building bridges across lines of diversity among women and making sure that all women and girls have access to what they need. And so there are some services that are on – at a fee, but they're always on a sliding fee scale.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So people who can pay, pay, and people who have less money will pay, but they'll pay what they can afford.
Okay. Now, share with us, when we say community, how you define community. Does that mean just here in Leon County? Do you deal with outlying counties? I mean, how do you define community?
So we are a local organization, and that does mean that we focus our services on Tallahassee and Leon. With a few exceptions, once in a while we'll have a program that is targeting maybe a women's leadership program that includes women from those outlying, more rural counties. And anyone from any community is welcome to come into our center and access services. But in terms of the outreach programs, the schools that we're in with some of our girls' programs, those are going to be all Leon County schools.
Okay. From a parental perspective, what were you looking for from the OASIS program?
Well, one of the most interesting things for me was that it was a girls' summer camp for girls only, and they met with women leaders from all over town, all over the community, and in the camp, they really worked to normalize women in leadership in male-dominated fields. And so I appreciated each week my children got to meet Chief Cindy Dick and Michelle Rewico-Vasalinda and other leaders at FSU that are women that are working in areas that are typically males in leadership.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Share where you're located. Now, I know how to get there. We can Google and go on and Google the Oasis Center, but physically, where are you located? Just for our listening audience, in case they might want to come
Absolutely.
By, check it out.
Our address is 317 East Call Street, and just to put that in perspective, that's on Call Street between Gadsden and Calhoun, downtown, kitty corner to the St. John's Episcopal Church, right next to their bookstore.
Okay, and the hours of operation?
So we always have someone there between the hours of 9 and 2 Monday through Thursday, but we're often there well beyond that. It just depends on what programming is going on. So if there's our single moms group happens on Thursday nights, we're going to be there till 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what's going on. During the summer camp, we're there from 7:30 in the morning till 6 p.m. every single day with the girls. So it just depends on what's going on. But you are guaranteed to find someone between the hours of 9 and 2 for a walk-in on Monday through Thursday.
Monday through Thursday. Now, are you available? Is there someone there on the weekends? Or how does that work, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
So we encourage folks to call us. We're not any kind of crisis treatment facility or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if you're really in crisis, you know, like, for example, we do have counseling, but if you're experiencing real mental health crisis and it's on a weekend, we suggest that you call, a provider for that other than us. But if you are just wanting to talk about what comes next for you, that's the kind of counseling and support that we can provide. And you're always welcome to call and leave a message, and we'll get back to you usually within 24 hours.
Okay. Now, Emily, how long have you been involved? And the Oasis Center. You've been around a while, huh?
I actually haven't. Joined the Girls for Change group last year, which was, my sophomore year of high school.
Well, and what was the impetus for you joining? Why did you join? What was it that drew you in and made you think,
I had a friend, and she was going to be a part of it, and she told me about it, and she's like, it's like an empowerment leadership kind of group. So I was like, yeah, why not? This sounds fun.
Okay. Jordan, how long have you been involved?
Well, this is my first year at the summer camp.
Okay, and how did you find the summer camp?
Didn't really find the summer camp. My mom signed me up, so then I just went. So.
Okay. And did you enjoy it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What was your favorite part of the summer camp?
Well, it was really all fun, but at the end on Friday, actually getting customers to come in and actually serving people and getting money from them and giving them stuff, that was really fun. So.
Okay. And Sophie and Ava. How about your involvement? I'll start with who wants to go first? Okay, Ava.
Well, my older sister, Gracie, she went to the summer camp on the second year, I think. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go because Gracie was going, my older sister. And it was something for women and girls. There were no boys at that camp, so I wanted to go.
You wanted to go, okay. Sophie?
Ava and Gracie went there, so I also wanted to go, and it made me feel more confident since there were no boys, like, to do anything that would hurt you or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So you had a good time? Did you enjoy it? What was one of the favorite components of it? What'd you like best?
I liked Animal Week.
And what did that involve? What was Animal Week?
One summer we went to a bay or a beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we swam,
and
then we got a visit with dogs, or at least they came there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I liked that one.
That sounds like a lot of fun. All right.
Well, and just to explain, with our summer camp, every week is based on a different empowerment-based theme. And so, as Kim said, they spend time with different women leaders, but that's why you hear the girls talking about different themes. And what Jordan was talking about was our Girls Mean Business Week.
Let me ask you to hold your thoughts, and we'll get back to that, because I'd like to further explore that. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other folks. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, weekly program for teens and their families and their communities and other interested folks. And this hour, we got a real dynamic crew here, everyone. Is from the Oasis Center for Girls. I had to interrupt you, Ellie, because we were talking about, the program, and you were talking about the program and the hours and the summer camp and what was involved. So did you have some more that you wanted to continue to say?
I just wanted to say that one of the cool things about the summer camp is that each week is based on a different empowering theme where we are going to help them explore leadership in different fields, and they meet women in those fields. And so each of the girls here that were part of the summer camp, they've been involved in different weeks. The one that Jordan was talking about was our Girls Mean Business Week, and this was the first summer we've done that.
Okay. Elaborate on that. Tell us about it. Because someone may be listening to the program and think, maybe not this summer because we're at the end, but next summer it might be something I'd like to get involved in. I'd like to have my daughter involved in, or my granddaughter, or my niece, or whatever. So let's talk about this summer camp program for girls. Jordan.
The week that I went to, which was Girls Mean Business, we decided on... When we made money, half the money was going to go to a charity and half the money we were going to split up evenly between us. So first we decided, which charity we were going to give to, and that was the Humane Society. So at the end we gave money to the Humane Society. And so we did that, and then we split up into different groups. There was the managing, production, and the marketing team, and everyone in that team just had a meeting, and we came together and gave our thoughts, and in the end, we worked on it, and we kept working and throughout the week, and then on Friday, we put everything together, and we made that business happen.
So you all came together and decided what business you were going to have. Yes. What was your business? Tell us about it.
We at our business, it was we sold cupcakes, brownies, dog treats, lemonade, and there were some donuts there.
Oh, okay. And all the proceeds then you gave to the Humane Society.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Now, Ava and Sophie, you also were in the summer camp, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what weeks did you go, and what did you participate in? I'll start with you, Ava, since I'm looking right at you.
Well, I didn't go this year, but okay. Sophie went this year.
So. Okay. But you have been in the past?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about that.
Well, I think it was last year they did a sports week, or a couple years ago they did a sports week. And during that sports week, we went roller skating with the Tallahassee Roller Derby girls, and that was fun.
Yeah, too bad folks can't see your face. She's beaming. That must have been a lot of fun. Okay,
yep.
And you did that. Now, Sophie, what did you do?
Well, this year I did art week, and we made a lot of art, and I went with my sister, Gracie.
Okay.
And I pretty much forgot all the art things that we did, but it was really fun.
Well, you know you enjoyed it. It was a good time. You want to go back next summer?
Yes.
Okay, so that says a lot about it. Now, in addition to the summer camp that you have for girls, I know in reading I saw that you have what we call girls' circles. Share with us, what is girls' circles?
Yeah, so the Girl Circles is a support group. It's a curriculum-based support group that goes into schools and community centers where girls already are to build positive relationships between and among girls, as well as build healthy self-esteem. And it's actually using a national evidence-based curriculum that is designed to explore all kinds of issues that are facing, especially our adolescent girls. So things like body image, healthy relationships with peers, healthy decision-making, built diversity, all those kinds of things that really all the science shows that things get really hard for girls going into adolescence and during adolescence because all society starts to pit them against each other and starts to really tear them apart. And so this group is about building girls up. And it meets every week for 8 to 12 weeks at whatever school or community center we're at. And in most cases, we have grant funding to be able to provide that service for free for the site and the girls. And it can accommodate usually up to 10 to 12 girls in a group.
Oh, okay. And so does it – yes, Kim, go right ahead.
They do girl circles at the summer camp, and my girls really seem to benefit a great deal from it. They one of the art projects they'll do – they'll express things about themselves. They bring these art projects home, maybe a flower of some sort, and each petal is a positive message to themselves, or the group of girls will get together and write a positive message to each friend.
That's
fantastic. And put this flower together, and the girls hang it on their walls sometimes, and I go in and I see these messages to themselves, you know, positive, encouraging, uplifting things that they could repetitively see even after summer camp's long over.
Well, I just commend you because, you know, the issues that girls are plagued with in this misogynistic environment, okay, are just overwhelming. And to hear that there is an organization that is really focusing on those kind of issues is great because they certainly need it. I mean, like you were saying, Haley, they get it everywhere. It's from the media. It's in the schools. I mean, it's every place, even if, whether it's intentional or unintentional, it's there. So young women and girls are bombarded with this. So, again, I commend you on that. In addition to the girl circles, is there anything else that you deal with specifically with the girls that we need to address? Because I know you deal with women, too, and I want to get to that. Because I think that that's great, because while the daughters are doing something, the moms can be doing things, too. So, but what are there any other programs that we need to be aware of that our listening audience needs to know about?
Well, yeah, I'd love to give Emily the opportunity to talk about Girls for Change, which was the group she was in.
Yes.
That was, Emily was part of our pilot group for that. And that one is an interesting one because you know, we are a homegrown agency, and we try really hard to be responsive to what our community says they need. We built that
social justice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So the Girls for Change program is a social justice leadership program for teen girls. So those are some of the oldest girls that we serve. And that came from a mom and a family and a teen girl who had been part of our Girls Circles program, had grown up in our summer camp, and who said, we're ready for that next step. This teenager really being ready to help make a difference, not just learn about the issues. And that's where that group came from. So I think it'd be great for Emily to talk about kind of what happened in that group and what you guys did as leaders.
Yeah, because what I understand, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I guess you have projects. I just want to make sure I have a grasp for it. You have various projects. And last year's project was the Gay-Straight Alliances. Yes, share with us. Tell us about that. How was it received? You know, it was in the schools. I want to hear all about it.
Well, so how the program started off was we did a lot of educational things. So we learned about
and when you say educational things, give us an example.
Yeah, we learned about different races. We learned about how people choose to identify themselves. So we learned about sexual identity and gender identities, and we learned about how different religions react to each other and how they communicate, and about a lot of different cultures and stuff. And then we had a chance to choose a project once we had learned all that stuff. And what my group decided was to focus on LGBT-related issues, and in specific, to create gay-straight alliances through Leon County Secondary Schools. So what we ended up doing was...
How was that received? You went into that. I mean,
it went well. It did go really well. Mm-hmm. We had presented to the school board, and they were very receptive. And they, they said multiple times that they wanted to empower young women to do what we were doing. So they were really on board with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So continue. So what did that involve? I mean, we want to hear about the program. The listening audience would like to know exactly what.
So one of the things that you might talk about, Emily, just from the grown-up perspective of what goes into making that program run is, as Emily talked about, they learned about the issues. Then they spent about a month learning different skills and practicing different skills associated with being effective at creating change.
Okay. And what were these skills? I mean, What were some of the things that you found that you needed, some of the components that you needed to make this work?
Well, we had to have effective communication between all of us.
Yeah.
Definitely effective communication. We had to be able to listen to each other and receive ideas from each other. And we had to figure out how to effectively communicate with people who weren't necessarily receptive to our
mm-hmm.
ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked on a lot of public speaking. And that was my favorite portion of it, because I was never one to really like love public speaking, but I got really good at it. Mm-hmm. And we created like goals and objectives for what we wanted for the outcome of the project or for the group.
Mm-hmm. And how long did this project, how long does this project last? I guess there'll be a new one this year, right? Or how does that work?
So this was our pilot group, and we had a lot of really interesting lessons learned. The group was amazing. The girls were amazing, and we wanted to help them see their project through. I will be honest, it took a little longer than we thought. We had some lessons learned.
Well, you just were starting,
anticipate. So we did this as one big group where they learned about the issues, they developed their skills, and they ran their project all in 1 year. What we thought would take one semester took two, so they did it all the way starting the whole school year.
Okay.
In the future, we probably are going to split that up into two experiences. So girls will have the opportunity to learn about the issues and practice the skills, and we'll get a couple rounds of those girls. And then the ones that are really into it and want to take a leadership role in a project will come back for that second experience.
Okay. All right. That sounds dynamic. Now, how many people did you have involved in your group? And what schools were represented? I want to get a feel for how diverse.
Yeah. Well, when we first started the group, I think we started with about maybe like 10 or 11 girls. And as the group went on and you know, school got going more and people got involved in different activities, we ended up only having like 6 girls in our group. And the girls represented were from they were from Sale High School, mm-hmm. they were from Lincoln, they were from Florida High. Okay. I'm trying to think. That's all I can remember.
Get it. But that's great. That's good. And I know I feel like I have a feel for what you're saying. And I guess the goal was to provide like a safer environment, I guess, for LGBT. Was that what you were trying to come out of this?
Well, so from our perspective, the goal of Girls for Change is mm-hmm. to empower teen girls okay. to take on leadership. And okay. not just leadership, but leadership specifically that is driven to make our community a better place, a more just
exactly.
place, a more exactly. inclusive place. What project they picked was completely up to them. We helped facilitate a process where they got to pick an issue they cared about and then go through what kind of change they felt like they could impact on that issue. So they picked LGBTQ, and they picked this idea of wanting to see more gay straight alliances formed. They did that. When we do this group again next year, that group of girls might get fired up and passionate about a different issue.
Okay, that's what I meant. Okay, I'll get to you, Kim, and I'll let me have Emily, and we'll come around the table.
Well, the reason we'd chosen to do the Gay Straight Alliance project was because school is a very intolerant place, especially when you get to high school. And like Haley was saying earlier, you know, girls are constantly competing with each other and beating each other down. And I personally don't understand that because it just doesn't, like, it's beyond my comprehension. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought the project that we did was really important and really good. And it we got a resolution signed by the school board saying that, you know, any school in the county who is, you know, high school level, who wants to have a gay straight alliance can create a gay straight alliance without resistance from administration or anyone like that. Obviously, it has to be approved, but, you know, it just kind of affirmed what we were trying to do, and that was the ultimate thing.
Were any alliances created?
Well, no, but I am personally working on getting a gay straight alliance for Lincoln High School because that's the one we saw that had the most resistance and the, mm-hmm. that needed the most support and help.
Well, and in fairness, that program just wrapped up at the end of the school year.
Yeah,
school
it was
year
difficult.
Hasn't started yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Kim, I know you had some info you wanted to share.
Haley was talking about kind of where the idea came from, and it really reflects the girls each summer. They have an issue at each week of summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
It might be addressing the needs of the animal shelter or the food bank, and they spend the whole week learning about that social issue, and then they develop a project to try to make a difference in the community, and the girls all participate in this whole process. So this is definitely a natural transition. As the girls finish summer camp, they get to move on and do it themselves, and they've gained these skills over their years in summer camp, those that do attend summer camp.
I want to pick your brain for a moment. And all of you young folks and older folks, when you think about issues, major issues surrounding women and girls today, what would you identify as some of the major issues that you feel need to be addressed? And I know some of them we've kind of touched on, but I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what other issues do you feel need to be addressed, particularly there in the high school?
And
that's
yeah.
Because that's when it gets vicious,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so that's why I'm looking at you, Emily, because high school seems to be very, very difficult.
Yes.
You know, elementary, you get into middle school and it's starting.
Yeah.
But high school, it's full-blown. And as you think, I mean, you're what, a junior?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think? What are the issues that just the community, the general listening audience, should be aware of?
I would say probably one of the biggest issues has been the cyberbullying among girls. And, you know, I didn't like that girl's shirt today. Okay, I'm going to write something nasty about her anonymously on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's stuff like that that really needs to be addressed. And the thing my mom taught me this, and oh my gosh, I love her for it, because I'm so glad that I learned it at such a young age. You have to, I mean, me not even obviously being a mom, because I don't want to be a mom yet, but monitoring your children and their cell phones is gigantic, because what kids are doing these days is they're degrading themselves and putting themselves out there in ways that they don't want to be, and then the cyberbullying, and they're creating bad images for themselves. And they don't realize that, you know, college board people or people who want to look them up for a job that they're applying for, they will look this stuff up. They will see it, and you're not going to get in. You're not going to get the job. And it's you're destructing yourself. You know, you're ruining your own life. And people just don't understand
that.
How do
we make inroads? I mean, and I've heard that said before. What kinds of things, how do we make inroads and make an impact on young women, girls, to understand that once that stuff is out there, it's out there forever?
Yeah.
Because it does not disappear. You know, they talk about, oh, we'll take it down. It's not taken down, you know. And I'm just wondering, what do you think that, you know, parents, teachers, counselors, whomever, how do we make that inroad to so that they really grasp that this information, this stuff that you put on, is going to be there forever? I mean, because it doesn't, you know, from the girls I've talked about, they seem to be really flippant about it. You know,
yeah.
Hold your thought for a minute, and I'm going to come back to you, and we'll talk more about it. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. We're going to take a brief break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me, we have members of the OASIS community here at the roundtable. Again, I welcome Kim Wiley, Ava Wiley, Sophie Wiley, Jordan Richardson, Emily Precone, and Haley Cutler. Emily, I'm back to you.
Yeah.
And I know I was just asking you how we make an impact, and so that young girls, young women understand that this stuff that they put out there, whatever it is, you know, if it's sexting or whatever, is there forever. How do we do that? Because it just seems like when I've talked about this program, they just kind of, they're, like as I was saying, kind of flippant about it.
Yeah. Honestly, it's one of those things that you have to be caught in the act to understand or to get how bad it is. And even then, I know for a fact girls my age, they don't care. We don't care. It's not a big deal to us. It's not going to affect our lives at all. So I definitely think this is one of those things, one of these issues that needs to be taught at like an elementary school age. Like, okay, this is, you know, what you're gonna, you know, get approached by in the future and all of this stuff. And yes, I realize, you know, adolescents and their brains aren't developed, and you know, it could be a touchy subject, or it could get them, you know, questioning things or stuff like that. But I definitely feel that if it's not taught at an early age, like don't do this, it's bad, that, you know, you learn the lesson too late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Haley.
Well, and so I think there's two sides of this coin in terms of a solution. I mean, whether we're talking about cyberbullying, whether we're talking about bullying in general, whether we're talking about what girls, how they portray themselves on social media, sexting, all that stuff, there's two sides of this coin. There's the preparing girls to make healthy decisions that are informed by positive self-worth and self-esteem. And so that's about building girls up and really educating them about the impact of the decisions they make. But then the flip side is, what can we as adults do to change the conversation in the community so that girls in particular and youth in general are not being pressured to do things that we know are inherently not great for them? And we have to acknowledge that we as adults are the ones that are controlling media. We're building these apps. We're doing these things that are oftentimes putting pressure on girls, both from the bullying side, we're creating the media that's pitting them against each other, and from this idea of, like, sexting and all this kind of stuff, we're the ones that are or are not having conversations about healthy relationships, about consent, about all of the kinds of things that go into giving them, and not just them, but the boys and everybody else, the tools to negotiate and navigate adolescence in a meaningful way. And so I think we need to get real honest about having conversations that we think might be uncomfortable or inappropriate. They're not. Our teens are talking about and doing these things. And so just to be honest and really set the tone that these are things that we talk about.
Yeah, and I feel like Kaylee was saying it definitely has a big confidence has a big impact on, you know, what decisions girls are making. And because of the societal pressures and how women are portrayed, girls don't have the confidence to be who they want to be, and they feel it's bad, and they're always looking for approval from somebody. And the majority of the times, it's a male figure.
Exactly.
And I feel like, you know, teaching girls to be independent and some, like, confidence work there would definitely benefit. And I also think that doing the same for young men too would definitely benefit them, teaching them what is, you know, the correct way to act, or what is, what's the word?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
The appropriate behavior.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay. Young folks, do you all have any issues or things that really bother you and you think that young girls should look at or address?
The stuff happened at school. What happens at school that bothers you about how girls are treated?
Well, I tell you what, you can think about it. Oh, go right ahead, Ava.
Well, a couple of years ago at school, the boys were only allowed to play sports. No girls could play. The girls were expected to, like, swing and go down slides. The boys were playing soccer and football, and none of the girls could join. So me and a couple girls went and we played soccer with the boys, and they didn't expect that. And it was really fun.
Okay. That's great. That is fantastic that you did that. Okay. Anything else? Well, and you think about it, and we will come back to you, because you might think about something, okay? The Oasis Center for Women and Girls provides various services for women and girls, ranging from counseling, single mom support, to conscious raising groups. I'd like to look at some of the resources at the center that are provided for the women. So let's look at some of those. I know you have a mother-daughter circle. Can you share with us what that mother-daughter circle is, and have any of you participated in it?
I don't think any of the moms and girls here have done it, but the mother-daughter circle is based on some of the same philosophies of our girl circle program, and it's about building strong relationships between mothers or female caretakers and their girls. And it's especially focused on adolescence. We've talked a lot about that, but that transition into adolescence can be really challenging for girls individually and on that mother-daughter bond. But everything that's out there says that if we can build strong relationships between mothers and daughters during that time, that that's going to help girls navigate adolescence successfully. And so that group explores all kinds of issues that commonly come up during adolescence with your mom: communication, expectation, boundaries. And what we have experienced when we've done that group is that moms and girls walk away feeling like they have a stronger relationship for it. They spend that time every week, just 1 or 2 hours a week, just really focusing on mothers being able to share their wisdom, but remembering not to do it in a way that disempowers or takes away the voice of your girl, because they're the experts on their own lives.
Now, if someone hears this and wants to participate, give us some info. Where do we do? Where do we go?
Well, right now we have an interest list going on for that group because we offer it when we have enough moms and girls interested to do it as a collective. And so we always have kind of a running interest list for programs like that, that we kind of just need to get a group together. So we have an interest list going on right now. So give us a call and say you want your name added to that list.
And where do we call and where are you?
850-222-2747 is the number to call. Okay. Or you can visit our website for more information at www.theoasiscenter.net.
Now, I know earlier you were mentioning the single mom support group. Can you elaborate a little bit more on this, on the who, when, where, why, what happens with that?
Absolutely. And this is somewhere where the listeners can really help us spread the word, because that group is a great resource. It's totally unique in our community. It was created because nothing like it existed. It is a free group. It meets every Thursday night from 6 to 7:30. And we basically recognize and have listened to single moms tell us that being a single mom, regardless of your financial situation, is really hard. You have to be superwoman. If you have a deadline at work and your kid gets sick, you got to figure that out. If you're trying to better your life and your child's life, you might be going to work and school and be the primary or only caretaker for your child. And that is legitimately stressful. So this group is a time where women can come together to support each other, celebrate successes, but really work through challenges together and really just normalize, you're not crazy, this is hard. And we want to reduce...
But I think that's important because I think that often they do think, my God, I'm going crazy, what am I going to do? And that's just a part of it.
That's just a part of it. And usually these women are the most amazing, outstanding women because they're holding it together for themselves and their children, but that doesn't mean that it feels like an easy road. And we want to make that easy and accessible, so that's why we provide free on-site babysitting during the group.
Ah, you must have been reading my mind, because then I was going to go, now what are the support services that are available? Do you have babysitting? So you have free on-site babysitting.
During that group.
During the group, right.
And we provide dinner for moms and their kids during the group, because it does run, it's right at that dinner
time. It's right at the dinner time.
So that way you can pick up your kid, if you're coming by after work, you can pick up your kid, come to group, and for most of the women that come, they'll tell us this is the only adult time that they get during their week that's not with family or at work, and that's really meaningful.
Okay, that is fantastic. What other program? Because I know you have a number of different programs for women, and I'm thinking even for maybe those college women. Is there anything that those college women can tap into?
So one thing, of course, is that we rely on college students to get involved. So we have internship opportunities, which is a great way for college students to get work experience. But if you're interested in working with women and girls or these kinds of issues, this is a great place to get that experience. So call us about your internship for academic credit or just to get that experience. We have had quite a few young women, college age and older, 20s, 30s, telling us that they're interested in some kind of networking opportunity that's just by and for young women. So we're thinking about that. Again, everything that we do is because women and girls in the community came to us and said that they're interested. And because we are a small shop, we don't have a lot of full-time employees. If you have a great idea, we encourage you to come and suggest it, but also to be willing to volunteer your time to help make it happen.
Okay. All right. Kim, I can't see you. Did you have something you wanted to add with that?
One of the things that Oasis offers the community is they have a nice meeting space. If there's a group of women that wanted to meet for a book club or a community service group that needs to meet and talk, the space is open. They have a great library in that meeting space as well. And then also two little libraries out front, one for kids, one for adults. And I've found a lot of the books in there kind of go along the theme of the Oasis Center.
Okay. Now, how does one access it? Just, again, call and see if they could use the center?
Absolutely.
Or how does that work?
Absolutely. So it is a community center. I'm so glad Kim brought that up. And it's, we open the space for free as long as the thing that you are doing is free and open to the public. If you want to just hold a book club or we have a lot of different groups that meet there, like you might at a library, and just give us a call and you'll work with Heather, our administrative assistant, who'll give you a tour and give you the lay of the land. As long as the space is available, it's free and open to the public for like-minded groups. So you have to be open and inclusive, and then we'd be happy to have you. Also, sometimes professionals will rent our meeting space and they'll pay because they want to host a workshop or something where they're going to make money, but they need a meeting space, and it'll be less expensive than other spaces. And of course, your contributions are going to support our work. And so if you use our space, even if it's free, we ask you to pass the hat. That helps keep the lights on.
Of course. That's
but
what it's about.
Open to the public.
Now, you counseling services, you touched on that. Just what do these counseling services involve? What kind of counseling is it? It was one-to-one, family, group, you know, share that.
So we provide one-on-one individual counseling for adult women.
Okay.
Regardless of sort of the life issue that's going on, a lot of the women that come to us for counseling are just experiencing transition, and it's helpful to talk to someone. We see a lot of folks who might be struggling with depression or anxiety. Those are really common things among women. But the truth is that it's nothing pathological. Most of us at some point in our lives will benefit from having someone to talk to who understands. And since we specialize in working with women, you can be really confident that you can find a counselor who gets what you're probably going through and maybe even has been there as a woman herself. And it's sliding fee scale. So what you pay is based on your income and your ability to pay. And so it's for all women from all walks of life. Those of us with a little bit more means are going to pay more so that those with less means can afford to pay less.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. And it's good to hear that, because what it does is it provides those, no matter what their income, an ability to participate. So often you may find programs and, you know, they don't have that sliding scale. And that sliding scale, you know, eliminates a significant portion of the population. So, you know, again, I commend you on that. Do you have a wish list? We've got, in the last 4 minutes that we are here, and for our listening audience, is there a wish list that you may have that people may want to participate? They may want to contribute. Is there anything or any projects that you have forthcoming that we need to be aware of?
So we are a relatively small organization, and that means every penny that is donated counts, and every individual in-kind donation, so things that you bring to the table, usually goes to really good use. From an in-kind perspective, things you might have around the house. Because we have all these wonderful girls here, we have a lot of arts and crafts needs. So glue, scissors, paper, anything you can think of that can be turned into art, we would love that. But then other things, cleaning supplies, healthy snacks for our girls' programs. Also, community groups can get involved preparing dinner for single moms group. So you can say every first Thursday, I'm willing to make a lasagna for moms and their kids at group. And then, of course, any contribution, financial contribution, big or small, is going to go to supporting these programs. And how we're able to stay so responsive to having girls and women tell us we want to do this, and then we create a program to do that, is to have those financial contributions from the community to support that.
Which leads me to, and I think you've addressed it in a number of ways, how do you interface with the community? What exactly do you, I mean, I know that there are several school milieus that you've been involved in, I mean, like Buck Lake and Rickards, and you've met, but how do you, the overall community, how do you interface with them?
So one of a great way to get involved is to come to one of our events. So during Women's History Month, we host our community's largest celebration of women's history, and we do that, as Kim said, celebrating local women. That's every year in March. That's a great event to dip your toe in the water. But also just give us a call, and we can talk about what you're interested in and how you might be able to get involved. Different programs and services go into schools. The summer camp is a great way to bring your daughter and get involved. And then, of course, our biggest fundraiser of the year is our Celebration of Women and Girls. And that is not just a fundraiser. It's mission-based. It's a celebration of showcasing local women and girls and their creative art, so their performance art.
When is that usually?
So it'll be in the spring.
Okay.
And we're setting the date this year, but it'll definitely be in the spring. And all of that information is on our website. But also, I encourage folks to like us on Facebook, because that you're going to get up-to-date fun stuff, and we share pictures from our program and quotes from women and just all kinds of ways to get involved.
Okay. In this last minute, and one of the ongoing topics of interest and need is nutrition and exercise. Do you address that at all in any of your counseling groups, whatever?
So we try really hard to make sure that in our girls' services specifically, that we're always eating healthy snacks. In our summer camp program, we do at least two physical organized activities a week. Of course, we do a lot of outside play as well, but we kind of talk about why it's important for us to stay physically active.
Yeah, moving the whole time. They come home from camp mm-hmm. hungry and exhausted.
Oh, that's good.
So tired just from working out all day, playing, going outside, going to the pool, going mm-hmm. on field trips.
Okay.
They get a lot of exercise at the summer camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in our single moms group, you know, we might have different guest speakers come into the group and talk about things regarding how, you know, the challenges with staying healthy and staying active for yourself and your children. It can be hard, but we can all do it. And I think that's some of the stuff we talk about, just one of the many topics that we talk about.
Well, again, I want to say thank you for coming and sharing all of this information. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen, and a special thanks to you all. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.